The music business was mean. Mean like Ringo Starr if you ask him for an autograph. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door? Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
Hi, back at the Pop Detective Agency. Tony, how are you today?
Oh, very well, thanks, Ricky. I haven't done anything this last week. I got a bit of... I was out in the sun too much, and I had to go in very, very early and sleep it all off, really.
I was going to say, I can see you on this conference call, and I thought I had my colour settings wrong.
No, I'm like a bronze god, aren't I?
Bronze isn't the word. I think it's more, it's kind of lead. It's like a burnished lead.
I'm slightly worried about it, to be honest with you, because when I woke up this morning and my wife saw me, she said, "My God, what have you done?" And I am particularly brown at this very moment. It looks as though I've been away to the Caribbean for a couple of weeks, but even this tan here that I got in my own garden is better than the one I get on a fortnight's holiday. So yeah, it's all win.
What's the most tanned you've ever been? It must have been in the 70s.
No. I think probably this is... I think as you get older, you tan quicker. Yeah. I've always tanned very quickly. I don't know about you. You don't lie in the sun?
No, I don't really like lying outside. I like being outside doing something. But it got me thinking about this is a personal question, I know, but I know you wear a lot of medallions.
Yes.
And I've always wondered this. Did you ever suffer burns from your medallions as they heated up in the sun?
Well, I went on holiday to Cyprus in the 70s, I think it was, when I was in the real medallion phase, and I had a massive great medallion. Mm. And I went out in the sun, and I fell asleep in the sun, and I took the medallion off, and it was completely white where the medallion had been. So I immediately, of course, I was warned by that, and I haven't done that since. So when I go out in the sun, first thing I do is remove the medallion. It's because it does heat up. And it's quite dangerous. And it also burns the hair. I have a very hairy chest.
As we know.
Yes. And and it does tend to burn the hairs off your chest as well in the shape of a medallion. So just be warned.
I will
be warned. That's all I say. It was a present I got from Noel Edmonds, believe it or not, on Noel's house party. And he told me, and I'm not sure, it is pure gold. And some of it came off his helicopter.
He had a pure gold helicopter.
No, only part of the helicopter. I think it was one of the propellers. And when he, I don't know if it was a propeller or what it was something or other, but he was replacing it and it was made of gold and he made this gold thing into a medallion for me. And it's, he lives in New Zealand now, of course, Noel.
With the bees who make the Manuka honey.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So you should get him to send
good contact.
Straight
good contact.
Great contact. He's your guy.
Yeah.
With his brains and his looks, they could go places. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
So, Ricky, we ought to get on with business, shouldn't we, really?
Oh, and, I'd love to get stuck in, get our teeth into it.
Yeah, have you got any... have you checked the answer phone today?
I'll power up the answer phone, Tony. Here we go.
Hey, Ricky, Tony, you've got game in cracking cases about celebrity demands, and I have got a good one for you. I have had word that the one and only goddess of pop, Cher, has some pretty specific requests when she goes on tour. Get this, a wig room, a private room just for her wigs. Good luck combing through the evidence on this one.
Ooh, this is an interesting one. Back to the subject of people's demands, diva demands, isn't it? So, yeah, what do you think about Cher, Tony?
I love her. I think she's great. Great actress, great singer. And, she just dresses up. And I think she's just a terrific act. And she's 74 now and still touring the world. I have shared a few moments with her. Mm-hmm. But it was when I worked at Capital Radio, actually, and they had a restaurant at one time. And I met her in there very, very briefly. Yeah. Quite a tall lady, I thought. Very dark-haired.
Right.
And very, very nice. Very attractive. But I didn't really have an in-depth conversation. So it was a shared moment, but not a in-depth shared moment.
This seems to be the story of your life. You meet people, but you never spend that much time with them.
Yes, they tend to... When they see me coming, they always seem to... I don't know. They've always got to get away. I don't understand it.
They're intimidated, Tony.
Yeah. But she does make a lot of demands. I mean, when you're touring, Ricky, do you make demands and things like that or not?
No. I mean, sometimes you're accused of making demands because there are certain things that are needed. I think we've talked about riders before, and a lot of it, you know, the press really like to concentrate on what's asked for, and they'll say that they demanded, you know, 20 chickens. And it's not the singer, it's the crew of 50.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never really made demands from anybody because I remember when I first joined the BBC and I said, could I have this? And they said no. And I thought, well, fair enough. And so I haven't bothered ever since.
You've never asked for anything?
No, not really. I mean, I wish I was back in the really good old days when if you did a programme, you had to wear a dinner jacket and a tie and dress up for the listeners.
I sometimes think that too, because I think that dressing up does put you in the right state of mind.
It does.
And especially, bringing us back to Cher, a lot of it is the look. So when she's on stage, she is the centre of attention. She's the big thing in the middle. So is asking for a room for the hair of the main event too much of an ask? And you know what? I'm thinking that, you know, wigs are very expensive items and you can't just put them anywhere. You know, if I saw a wig lying around, I'd want to put it on. And I wouldn't be surprised if I was a person with a large wig collection to think to myself, I don't want anyone else sticking their heads, especially not part of the road crew.
Yeah.
I think once you get into wigs as a hobby, it's probably like a collection that you're very fond of. So you'd really want to look after it, wouldn't you?
Well, Ricky, as you know, I've been in show business since it was invented, actually. It's been a long time. So I think I might be able to get as close to Cher's inner circle to find out. So how about one of Cher's dancers? He's called Boubacar.
Oh, Boubacar. Oh, let's get him.
Boubacar. Boubacar, Boubacar,
Boubacar. Boubacar, Boubacar, Boubacar,
Boubacar, Boubacar. Boubacar,
Oh, nearly. We'll get him on the conference call.
I think Bubba's in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'll patch him in now, I think they say.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I'm here.
Lovely to be with you. How did you get to know Cher? I know you traveled with her and everything.
Yeah, I auditioned for a video of her in like probably like 86. 87.
We should explain that you're a choreographer and of course dancer as well, former dancer as well.
Yeah, I lived in Los Angeles for 20 years, and I auditioned for her I Found Someone video, and got that. I guess, well, I auditioned, and then later that night, the choreographer Kenny Ortega's assistant called me and asked if I was available to come to Cher's house the next day.
Wow.
So that was shocking. And so I drove to Bel Air to her house and they asked me to come into the kitchen and wait. And then suddenly Cher arrives in her kitchen, which was covered with wicker, by the way, the entire kitchen. And so she came in and we started dancing and there I was grinding Dirty Dancing with Cher in her kitchen.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous. Yeah. But I was talking to a friend the other day about that experience and it was just kind of like I was just going with the flow and just making sure that she was comfortable and trying not to freak out at the same time. I'm sure I was sweating like heavily, but yeah.
What was she like to be with?
Oh, Cher's amazing. She was really cool, really sweet. If I remember correctly, she had on her signature black velvet sweatpants with little studs on them, you know, and a little crop top, you know, like Cher wears. And she was just lovely, really super sweet. Her natural hair, no wigs, you know. But yeah, she's super down to earth, super cool, very, very sweet, funny. You know, she's pretty shy nature, you know, by nature. You wouldn't think of it by how she is on stage, but as a person, she's pretty shy.
It's funny you should say that because I've met Cher just once, very, very briefly, but I got to know Diana Ross quite well. I toured with Diana Ross. Not as a singer, but introducing the show. And she's very shy as well. Very, very shy. I was amazed by it. And you're saying that Cher is a shy person deep down.
Like she's Cher, but she's human, you know? Like a lot of people think that she's that kind of persona that she is on stage, but she's really, you know.
That's nice to hear that.
A really lovely person.
When she's touring, I mean, she's a big name and it's a big image, isn't it? And big hair and all the clothes and everything. There's a rumor that she has and she demands to have a room set aside just for her wigs. on when she's on tour. Is that great?
I won't say demands, but back in the day, back in the earlier days when Renata was doing her wigs, there was a separate room where Renata would go and she would create wigs by crocheting hair onto a lace cap that was fit specifically for Cher's head. And she would crochet and make a wig, you know, and then style it. But there was all these wig heads around with Cher's various hairstyles on them. Yeah. And, you know, it was funny because Renata wouldn't have them on her bus or the crew bus. They would put Cher's wigs on our bus in the bathroom. And so whenever you went to the bathroom, there was like these Cher heads clamped to the basin with all these, you know, wigs standing or sitting around while we were using the bathroom, you know. So that
was
kind of odd.
Have you ever tried one on?
No way. those are like $10,000 wigs. I would never
$10,000?
They're handmade, yeah, wow. For sure.
So in respect of that, if they're worth that much money and they are such a big part of the show, it's not that mental a demand to want a room for them. It's not like the stories about, you know, Mariah Carey wanting kittens, which isn't anything to do with the show. This is actually a big part of the performance.
Well, if you want her to change clothes and change looks where her fans expect that, then yeah, they're a huge part. I mean, just like the wardrobe, there's another separate room for the wardrobe, you know, like, and they're all kind of attached to the main dressing room. It depends on the venue that you're in, you know, but her dressing room is one thing. And then there's little side rooms that kind of branch out from there.
Do you think you can teach anybody to dance? Because I was a musician to start off with, a guitarist and singer, and I have no natural rhythm at all. And my wife is an actress, and she used to teach dance, and she's given up on me. It took me 9 weeks to learn, you know, the scissors. That. And the only dance I can do quite well is the twist.
Uh-huh.
But you reckon you can teach anybody to dance or not?
Let's see.
But I have no natural rhythm, strangely.
I don't think you can teach anybody to dance. I think you have to have a memory for it, and that's a muscle you have to build. And so your body can retain the information rather than just your brain. And I also feel that some people judge themselves against other people that are professionally trained. So it kind of locks them down and say, oh, well, I can't dance. Well, I think we're all dancers innately if we don't judge ourselves and just move to our own rhythm.
I have a problem with my hips. I can't move my hips in a sort of rather sensual manner.
They're a lot younger than you are.
Well, arthritis may have something to do with that. I don't know.
That's
my body for sure.
Well, I'm 77, Bubba.
Wow.
And, oh, my God.
I'm 77, and I think probably my dancing days are behind me now. But I think there is room in the business for a mature dancer like myself. And absolutely. I was just wondering if I could get taught to do it better, because there's nobody of my age group at the moment doing dancing like that. Can I just demonstrate my scissors to you?
I was going to ask you earlier to do that.
Have to go away a minute, and here we are.
Oh, wow. Tony's walking off into distance. He's, well, you can't see his legs, but his upper body. That was fantastic, Tony.
Unfortunately, you couldn't see my legs very well there, could you?
No, I didn't see your legs.
Well, I can imagine they were like one leg was thrusting to the side.
That's right.
Like,
they're overlapping one another.
That's called a maxi Ford.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can't see it, really. No.
Yeah. So get your leg higher, Tony.
Yeah. Oh, now you get the teacher in you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Not the feet, Tony.
Too bad this isn't being seen.
Well,
what do you think? Is there promise there, do you think, or not?
Well, I think there's promise. As long as you don't die in the process, we're good.
Have you had many elderly?
As long as your wife doesn't divorce you, we're good.
that's good. Thanks very much for that. I think probably my dancing days are behind me.
Me and Grace, my partner, we believe to be good dancers. We, you know, when there's a wedding, we really go for it. But then the other day we were bored in lockdown and we decided to learn a cheer, like cheerleading thing.
Yeah.
And we learnt it. It took 4 days, and then we videoed ourselves, and we suddenly realized when we watched back, we looked like we're concentrating so hard. It looked awful. Now, I think and what it is, we find dancing under our own steam. But there must be something a little switch that dancers have in their brain that makes it so that they can learn things and still look natural. Because just two of us dancing in sync together just looked awful. The concentration on my face, she kept telling me, just try and smile through it. I'm like, it didn't work on a podcast.
It's muscle memory for sure. Because if you take class and you are, and you've learned to just put the dance right into your body, then it's easier. Your body just takes over and your mind's not part of it at all.
Ricky, I didn't realize you were such a great dancer.
I'm not. I just naturally, yeah, but to learn anything, I find it really hard.
Do you still keep in touch with Cher or not now?
When she's in town or when I can go on, go visit them on the road, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's super private, and she's always, just like working out, doing her thing, staying in Malibu. Mm-hmm. But last time she was here in Atlanta, I got to see her before the show. We had a little kiki and hugs, and it was really sweet. And that was such a big part of my life for so many years. So,
when you were touring with her, did she have any strange demands?
No, but there was always goldfish, the cracker goldfish.
Oh, they,
I know that was one of her main things that she would want.
Goldfish?
Not real goldfish, Tony. It's
a little cracker.
Oh, cracker goldfish. Yeah.
It's a U.S. delicacy.
Yeah.
It's like Twiggies.
You have to eat your pinky up, And then there was a rumor that green M&Ms, but I never saw green M&Ms in her dressing room.
Well, you know the origins of that story about M&Ms of a certain color being on a rider?
Yeah, yeah.
Is, the Led Zeppelin thing about their... Well, in the old days, the tour rider used to be this thick because it incorporated things to do with stage size, weight, of stealing stuff to hang stuff off, all of that. And he figured out if he put something in that book that was small...
Yeah.
If they didn't do that, and he could walk into the dressing room, and if he found the bowl of M&Ms hadn't had the brown ones taken out, he could go to the person that owned the venue and say, how come you haven't done that?
Huh.
And they said, we didn't see it. And he goes, well, if you didn't see that, how do I know you've done all the other things that are quite important to do with, stage structure and stuff like that? And they just walk out. Because it's quite a clever thing. It's like,
that is clever. Well,
it's a hidden trap for the venue owner so that he knows that they've done their job to the fullest. So it's I like that story. And it seems the list of things on Cher's list that I've had about tour demands, she's not that much of a demanding person. She's down to earth.
Those lists?
Oh, just things that seem quite normal to me. She asks for bottles of chilled Moët and Chandon champagne. That's fine. I mean, usually we have champagne on our rider, but usually it's drunk by management and hangers on.
Well, if hers was there, it's drunk by the dancers for sure.
Yeah, water must be 23.5 degrees C. Huh. Now, that's probably saying don't leave it in the fridge all night.
Right.
That's probably that. Mm-hmm. And then aircon must be turned off. That's also fine for a singer.
Yeah, she liked it warm, yeah.
Me too. Basically what we've found out, Bubba, is that she's a very down-to-earth, natural, shy person.
She is.
Great. And the idea of a wig room, isn't that preposterous when you think of how many wigs there are, how expensive they are, even though it seems she didn't mind having them in your toilet?
I'm not sure if she knew that. But I will say there was the wig gate. One of her wigs got stolen at one of the venues.
Right.
And there was a whole thing about it, and it showed up 3 days later at another venue, disheveled, because someone that knew the person that took it, because they bragged about it, reported it, and they had it shipped to the next venue, or two or three cities later, and the wig showed up.
When you say
That wasn't Sonny, was it?
Well, I don't think so.
When you say
have been the ghost of Sonny Bono.
When you say it went missing and came back disheveled, I just imagined a wig going on a bender, going like it crawling off.
Party. It's like, I'm done with this. I'm done with show business. I'm going out partying.
Sitting at the end of a bar somewhere.
It got sent to rehab and then back home.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's hilarious.
So I'm coming around to the idea that it seems a perfectly natural request to have.
I think so. If you're Cher, yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, there we go then. Thank you very much for speaking to us, Bubba.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have care.
It was a macadamia, the toughest nut to crack.
but these guys were the biggest nutcrackers in the business. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
So that was Bubba, Tony, and it was insightful. And I'm starting to think that this is cleared up, and a wig room isn't that much of a big demand, aren't you?
No, when you're on tour and you've got a lot of things to store, I think that's
a room. That's just a room. It's fine. But yeah, you mentioned no Renata. Renata's a famous wig maker, and Cher's actual wig maker was mentioned by Bubba. And we have the number right here. It's under L in my Rolodex, a Renata Lushner. So I think we should.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Let's do it.
I'll get them on the blow now. Conference call, dialing them in.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Renata?
Hello, I can hear you.
Hello, Renata. I'm Ricky, and
I'm Tony. Hello.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Ricky.
Whereabouts are you? You're in the States, I gather. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm Los Angeles.
So we're here to talk to you about wigs. Now, wigs have been your life, making them for very, very famous people, and it's a very intricate job. And I have a friend who makes wigs, and she finds it extremely hard, but sometimes therapeutic. Do you find it therapeutic making wigs?
Well, it all depends on the job and the people you're dealing with.
Ah, so the element of people, which always gets in the way.
Well, you know, I have to please them. Otherwise, you know, you just do what they ask you to do.
So how long does it take you to make a wig itself? Because you have to do it hair by hair. I mean, you use real hair, do you?
Yeah, it's about around 60 working hours.
Wow, that's a lot. Wow. And where'd you get the hair from? I mean, is it from America or?
We used to have we buy it here from the supplier who bought the hair from Russia, but this has pretty much dried out. Now I have a big supply, you know. I'm one of those, and I buy more than I actually need for a job, so I have a stock.
You've hoarded hair like we're over in the UK hoarding toilet rolls at the moment.
I wouldn't call that hoarded because this is a business investment.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because of lockdown, I haven't had a haircut in nearly 3 months, and it's grown very long. Maybe the hair shortage will get cured by the fact that people.
I don't think you have long enough hair. If your hair is about from the neck down, I would say 20 inches.
I don't have that long of hair.
I didn't think so.
When you're making a wig, does it depend the amount of hair on the size of somebody's head? I mean, if you've got somebody with a small head, do they take less hair? And somebody with an enormous head, do they need more hair?
It does. It does, but you cannot, you know, you cannot say, you have a small head, you get less. You have a big head, you have to pay more. It doesn't work that way.
Now, you've made wigs for a lot of different people and well-known people. Which star have you made the hair for who's got the biggest head?
Oh, God, it's usually the men.
They came in and they said they want a wig made, and you think, my God, that guy's head is enormous. I'm going to have to buy up a whole new lot of hair.
Bad luck for you.
I think you're being very delicate.
I think he knows he has a big head. Oh, yeah, sometimes. Oh, you got a good one. You know, but I think the biggest one, when I was an apprentice in Germany, was an opera singer, and he had, like, I would say, enormous.
Like a basketball.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
So in your storage unit, you've got models of lots of famous people's heads waiting for you to work on.
You keep old
heads. Have you ever made a wig for Doris Day? Tony would like to know.
No, never. Never met the lady.
Oh, you know, I love Doris Day, and you never actually made a wig for her.
No, I never met her. I heard she was a very nice lady.
Yes.
Talking very specifically about Cher, you've made over 100 wigs for Cher, which is a lot of wigs. When you were working for her, now here we come to the important part, if she was on tour, would she have a room specifically just for you and the wigs?
Yes, that's a necessity. It's like anything, but especially when you're on tour, you need a wig and a hair room. You need to, you have a makeup room, you have a room where a wardrobe keeps the costumes, then you have dressing room. It's an absolute necessity. Just, it sounds funny. She has a wig room. Yeah.
But I do think that, investigating this wig room, it seems that a lot of people with celebrity demands seem to blow them out of proportion into something that seems ridiculous, when in fact it was a necessity.
No, it's just something people are not used to. They hear when a wig room, my God, the wigs have their own room. That's not what it is. The wigs just happen to be in this room because they're all together, especially when you are on tour. Everything has to be so organized. I remember in the early days, a minute changing her costume, changing the wigs. She was touching up her makeup at the same time. That everything has to be, it's almost like you're choreographing it, but you don't know what you're doing while you're doing it. You just, do that.
Did you go on a world tour with her at all?
Oh, yeah, in the early days,
So did she, when at the end of the show, did you just pack them up? Do you put them in a plastic bag or something and then shove them in the boot?
No. There was a big case. There was a case. If we had to travel the next morning or the same night, I put them all in. They were all lined up in there and on the block. And so when we came to the next location, the only one wig I always kept with me, that was the opening and sometimes the closing wig, because it needed to be shampooed and styled from scratch every night.
I've been reading a list of some of the famous wigs you've made, and you probably made one of my favorite wigs in movie history, which was Robin Williams' Mrs. Doubtfire wig.
Oh, yes.
What was it like to work on that movie?
But, you don't forget the hairstylist. She did a great job. Yeah. I wasn't there to do it. But Yolanda Toothing, she did a wonderful job. One of our best hairstylists in the business. She got, I think, two Oscars.
Two Oscars?
No, so, she is terrific.
So do you get an Oscar as well?
No. Oh, God, no. Jesus, they would fight each other if this comes ever in.
If you did get an Oscar, I'm sure you'd be tempted to make a tiny wig for it.
No, I didn't. Because you worked, unless I do the styling too, like I did in the early days, it's not only my work. I just made it to fit for the character and what was asked for. Mm. And that's what I did.
And they're very expensive as well, aren't they? Is that right?
Yeah. They're not that cheap to make.
What is the most expensive one that you've made?
I think it was for Charlize Theron, for this Huntsman and Snow White and the Huntsman. And they only used it for one shot. And I said, gee, guys, you really wasted your money.
I've seen a lot of Disney films and things like that, and a lot of animals there in the Disney films. Have you ever made have you ever had to make a wig for an animal in a film?
No. No, I didn't.
That's a shame. Yeah, because I've seen some weird-looking animals on the Disney thing, and I think, is that real or not? And, particularly...
No, they don't. You mean that they have a... They don't really have real animals. They just have caricatures.
Oh, I see, yeah.
That they draw in. That's not... No wig maker.
Good question, though, I think. And I cleared it up. I've worried about that for many years.
It was a good question, Tony. I don't think you should be embarrassed by that at all. It was a good question.
I am slightly embarrassed now, yes.
No, don't feel bad about it. We've got this person on the phone who can answer these questions, and you should ask them if they come
up.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Renata.
Yes, thank you.
I'm really thrilled to speak to you. Someone that's been, adorned many a famous head. I'll name some out here. Jim Carrey, Halle Berry, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Charlize Theron, as you mentioned, Anthony Hopkins. You're the best person for us to talk to about this, but we were specifically asking about Cher, and you answered our question, and yes, Cher did have a wig room, but it seems that's a necessity and not a diva request.
No, but it sounds for somebody on the outside, she has a wig, she keeps her wig. No, she never even gets into this room. it was just for the hairstylist.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks very much, Renata.
Thank you, Renata. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
If ever me or Tony need a wig, we know who to come to now.
Thank you. You have great wig makers in your country. You don't have to travel for this. But I won't say no.
I'd like to travel to meet you, actually, in Los Angeles. Lovely place. I love it.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't like to name drop, but last time I was there, I was at a recording session with the Carpenters.
Weird.
And Karen
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah.
Showing your age there.
Oh, my goodness.
No, your face doesn't, but you're showing it with your words.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Renata.
Thanks, Renata.
Same here.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
What do you think, Ricky? I think we've sort of solved the case.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't even seem like a mystery or a myth to solve. It seems like Cher, a big part of her act is her hair, and Cher hair. And Cher's hair needs her spare Cher hair needs somewhere to sit. On a chair. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It obviously happened. We have two people telling us about the wig room.
Yeah.
Two people who both say that it is, to most outsiders it might seem weird, but it's just part of the game.
This is in a strange sort of way been a really interesting one, but the easiest one that we've sold, I think.
Very
really,
easy.
To be honest with you.
I do like to clear up these rider.
Yes.
They're a big part of our job, clearing up, did people like this ask for this? And yes, Cher did ask for it, and yes, she was justified. So I think we can get the rubber stamp out and solve this case. Will you do that for me?
Case solved.
Thank you very much. Another myth solved there. I will now put a plea out over the airways and ask people to let us know if there's any mysteries that they'd like solving. Maybe there's a story about a celebrity rider that they'd like clearing up, and any tip-offs are welcome. Is that right? Yeah,
they certainly are.
Yeah, so don't protect your. Don't worry, we'll protect your anonymity if you want to. But if you want your name read out, we'll read your name out as well. Get in touch then, and we get in touch this way. Get in touch at rickyandtony.com. Fire us an email at podcast@rickyandtony.com, and you can find us on Twitter, Ricky and Tony Pod, and also. On Instagram, Ricky and Tony Pod. I said that.
We're just everywhere.
Everywhere.
We're just everywhere.
We're everywhere. Absolutely. We're like coronavirus. If you don't wash your hands, you'll end up with a podcast in your ears.
I never thought about it like that, but you're absolutely right. Mm. Hey, Ricky.
Yep.
I don't want to be rude, but I've got to go because I've got a new update on my Apple phone.
Yeah.
I want to just watch it go through.
Coronation Street and Apple updates, and you're happy.
Yep. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
See you next week, same time, and we'll do another pop myth, and we'll dispel it or we'll prove it.
Lovely.
See you
next week, Ricky.
See you next week, Tony.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.